How concerned are you with how you'll be viewed in 100 years?
I don't really care. You know, I would like to think that the people that love and care about me think a certain way of me, but I'll be long gone, I'll be dead. I don't think I'll be seeing what people say about me. I'll be 6 feet under. I don't think I'll be a ghost. Yeah, I don't care.
You know, you might want to change the question there to 20 years. I mean, all well and good. Scheffler talks, that's Roy McIlroy. Scheffler talks like that too, like whatever. Legacy, whatever. But you know, like Jack Nicklaus is in his 80s. We're not 100 years from when he was winning majors. We're like 40 or a little more. And, you know, that's kind of a relevant thing. But you make it 100. Although I know somebody in my life thinks, like, our kids are all going to live to be like 150. And here's where I say, Brian, would you want that? You want your kids to live to be 150? This is where I say what Rory said, which is I'm not going to be here to know. So sorry for a little bit of a morbid opening. Brian Koziol, Tee to Green with me on the West Shore Hotline. We can just talk golf if you want.
Yeah, that wasn't the first question I was anticipating. I think living to 150, if we age the way that we are, at least we're trending to, I don't think I'll be physically in a good state at that point.
I'm like, buddy, if you want to live to be 150, you better cut it out with the Pop-Tarts, the brown sugar cinnamon Pop-Tarts every day. I don't know. Maybe that won't matter. AI and advances in medical research, everything's going to be easily taken care of. I don't know. Is that the world we want? Anyway, again, golf, golf, golf. The Open Championship at Royal Birkdale. The one thing I've read about this course, and I really don't know these Open Championship courses from each other, Brian, until the tournament comes around, and then sort of my memory is refreshed about them. But Birkdale is apparently notorious for how tight it is. Like, this isn't necessarily a bomber's golf course, right?
Yes, you're right on that. And with how firm, and the word that I've been hearing used quite a bit from all the people that are there, it's crispy. It's going to be playing, I think, it's going to be a course where you're not going to see a lot of drivers hit off the tee. Jordan Spieth on Monday after his practice round said one 6-iron for him ran 300 yards just because it's so dry.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to see a lot of irons. I don't think anybody's going to have to necessarily overpower the golf course. So, I mean, you know, the virtue of having super length off a tee, I don't think it's going to matter that much. I think a lot of it's going to be accuracy and placement. So it probably brings more players into play. For you, maybe your job a little bit more difficult. But, I don't think necessarily you have to be a long hitter to win this week. It's all about accuracy and, you know, a little bit of luck, too, for what it's worth. We know that's a part of sports, but I think more so at the Open than any other of these major tracks, because sometimes you hit literally the dead center of the fairway, but it hits one of those little mounds or ruts, and then it runs into a pot bunker, and suddenly you have to hit it backwards just to get it back in play. So that's something that maybe is a little bit more, you know, luck-oriented than maybe we see in some of the other traditional venues.
Did I read that the fairways run faster than the greens?
Yes. Yeah, but some of them for sure. The greens, so normally, for those that are familiar with like the stimp meter number, for majors, usually it's maybe 12, 13, you know, Augusta can even go higher sometimes, but usually these are like 10 and a half, and they're not meant to necessarily be super, super, super fast. Like, people will probably say, why does this course look so burnt this week or crisp? And, you know, we've talked about this before, the RNA, the Royal and Ancient, that runs this event, they say whatever the weather does, that's how the course is going to play. They don't care if the winning score is +5 or -25. So that's something that kind of what this, you know, what this Open is about. They say, we're going to let this, you know, Mother Nature kind of decide of how this tournament's going to play. And it looks like the weather is going to be really, really nice in terms of the conditions. It's going to be 70s all week. There's really no chance of rain.
Wow.
One unique quirk about this major than maybe the U.S. Open or the PGA is that they don't use the back nine to tee off. And I mean, the Masters doesn't either, but they have a much smaller field. So that doesn't maybe impact it as much. But a lot of times we talk about like the draw, like did they get, you know, early, late, or late, early, that kind of setup in terms of, you know, how you're going to start this tournament. And sometimes the weather, as we know over there, can change quite dramatically, where some guys that are playing early might play in calm conditions or play in terrible sideways rain, and then it can flip in the other way and they can get a huge advantage. So it looks like that's not going to necessarily play into factor this week at all. It's going to play super firm, super hard in terms of the firmness of the course, and we're going to see a lot of run out. And I think creativity is going to be interesting to see what do these guys do on approach shots. Are they necessarily bringing the ball in high and actually going at these pins, or are they actually bringing it in front of the green on some of their approaches?
This is in Northwest England, and the last time the Open was there, Jordan Spieth won his last major, and I think it might have been minus 14 or minus 12, some score like that. So if it's going to be nice out, what's an Open Championship without rain? But okay, if it's going to be like that.
You need one day, I feel like. I want to one day at like, you know, 6 a.m. wake up and lie in bed and turn on the TV and then see it like with like somebody's umbrella is turned inside out. Like that's what I want to see.
I want to see some hats blow off. Yes.
Yes, I need one of those days for it to be a true Open experience. But yeah, you mentioned Spieth. I'm sure the highlights that people will be seeing this week, he, in that year that he won here at Birkdale, 2017, was when he had that epic hole where he hit it where no one even expected him to. It was like into the driving range, concession area, and they didn't even know if it was deemed to be out of bounds or not. They realized there was nothing with stake. They're like, well, it's not out of bounds. It took him over 22 minutes to play the hole, and he ended up somehow salvaging a bogey out of it. I mean, I'm sure they'll show the highlights over the course of the week here if he's at all in contention. And it was that hole where he makes the putt and yells, go get that. And his caddy, Michael Greller, you know, goes and it was an incredible bogey for him, considering how far he missed his tee shot. But yeah, this was the last time it was here. This is when Spieth was kind of in the discussion of is he the next, I don't know, was Tiger. It next Tiger, I guess, at that point. Right. Yeah. Cause that 2015 through 2017 time period, Spieth was dominating more than any other player in golf.
With Brian Cozio, Bulldog, unable to join us. Let's get to the picks here. It's my turn. I've been on a roll with these. You said it might be tougher because of the, you know, the conditions may be so nice. Maybe that opens up the field to many more players. I don't like how the odds fell for me. And I'm going to ask you, Brian, to break a tie. I checked on three different betting apps, what we use to sort of tier these players. Top three, you win half the amount, half a unit. Fourth, players ranked 4 through 20, you win 1 unit. Anybody ranked higher than 20, you win double. So I looked at three different apps, and they all have the third and fourth favorites dead even in price. That's Fleetwood and Matt Fitzpatrick. So I'm going to ask you to decide which one goes in the half X group and which one is 1X. You pick.
All right. I'll put Fitzpatrick into the half payout because I think he's playing very, very, very well. Although Fleetwood, I feel like I could argue too, but I'll push Fitzpatrick into that top three.
Very well. That's what I would have done too. So yeah. I'm taking both of them and Scheffler, who is the favorite. Won last year. Might seem like a long time ago since he's won one, but he won this tournament last year. I'll leave McIlroy off for the half price.
Yeah.
I don't like his attitude. We'll all be dead, so who cares? Not picking him. I'm going to take a McIlroy break. Schauffele. Sounds perfect for the track. Schauffele. The irons. I'll take him at 1X. Also, Rahm. Seems like you almost got to do that at that price.
Yep.
I'll take McIntyre from Scotland. He had a good week at the Scottish Open, maybe third. And, you know, close to home. I don't love that pick, but I'll do it. I don't love a lot of these. I feel like about the next 20 guys are kind of all the same here. So that's six. Scheffler, Fitzpatrick at 0.5. Fleetwood, Schauffele, Rahm, McIntyre at 1X. I'll take Hovland, another sort of like almost like a default pick in these things. What's his problem? Is it fair to say he has a problem? Like how close has he come to winning one? Like is he to you a good pick?
Yeah, because he is talented enough that he's going to win one. I don't even know if I would label it as a problem. I would just label it as the fact that there's just a ton of good golfers, and he's his his chances have also been in the middle of the Scottie Scheffler time period of dominance. So that's a little maybe blip there. I mean, he's finished second a couple of times, once at the Masters, once at the U.S. Open. So I don't think I'll say there's just more so other players maybe just have nipped him than it is going to necessarily say like there's some sort of trend that he can't finish. So I like to pick. I would take him if I was on your, if I was picking the 10. He'd be one of mine.
Okay. I kind of like the idea of Wyndham Clark, the U.S. Open champion, but for apparently as locked in as he is, I'm going to not take him. I thought about it. I have 11 names written down. He's the one I'm crossing off. Scheffler, Fitzpatrick, Fleetwood, Schauffele, Rahm, McIntyre. Maybe you'll have time to comment on Clark if you want. Hovland. And then I've got Russell Henley, who I want. And he's just inside the top 20. And game theory-wise, I hate picking the guys that are like 19th in this. Yeah. But I'm taking Henley anyway. And then two guys just outside would be Tom Kim and Joaquin Niemann. I love that Niemann had that. He had an 11 on a hole at the U.S. Open and still finished, what, top 10?
Yep.
So there it is. I'm not taking Clark. Should I take Clark? Would you?
Probably not. Just more so, and this is going to sound silly, but just, well, he's won a major already. Is he good enough to be a two-time major winner in 1 year? Like, I'm not ready to put that label on him yet. So
he's won two U.S. Opens, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to me, this week with, you know, like the storyline, there's Fleetwood, his hometown. He set the stories of him sneaking on this golf course when he was a little kid. Like, who's the best? When you said Hovland, I feel like that's the answer maybe, but who's the best current player that hasn't won a major? I think Hovland's in that discussion, and maybe Fleetwood's in that discussion, and both of them have a chance to maybe get that done this week.
I think Fleetwood would be that answer. I don't have like a tail of the tape here, but remember at the end of last season, it was how he couldn't win these tournaments. He was close. And then he does win the playoff, right? He wins the tour championship. So, yeah, that guy's due, right? That guy's due. Okay.
And Rose made his amateur debut here and had the chip in on the last hole and was, you know, had a great kind of start. That was his last tournament before he turned pro. And then we obviously know he's had an outstanding pro career. And, you know, maybe a week where, again, you don't have to hit it a mile. Not that he hits it short, but an older Rose who's smart, who knows the course, like that also could be a nice story for this week, too. For as good as he has been, you know, money in the Ryder Cup, a gold medal, a U.S. Open, it feels like for him, if there's one event that I'm like, Justin Rose should have an Open. Like, it just feels like that's right, and he doesn't have one yet. So maybe that could be something, too, this week.
Certainly could regret leaving him off. He's in a group where a lot of guys are like that. Morikawa, Oberg, Hatton, so Cameron Young.
Yeah.
Brian?
There's a ton of good picks out there. Even, I'll go down the board a little more. Goddard select. I don't even know if he's really down the board because he's won recently. But he has played well. Last year, won the Scottish, had a nice 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry, yeah, won the Scottish last week. I'm sorry, but then won the John Deere the week before that. So he's had some good play as of late. Yeah. He's played good in this tournament.
He's the seventh favorite. He's above all those guys we just talked about.
So they have
the
moved
odds.
Him up quite a bit.
Yep.
So that's no longer an underdog pick for sure.
Plus 2,800 for Goddard, who I'm leaving off. Plus 75,000, last thing, for Patrick Harrington, who is dominating the senior tour, won an Open at that golf course. I'm not going to put him on my team, but I'm going to put $10 on him to win $7,500 if he does it. Is it completely insane to think that Harrington, who's I think my age, I mean that's he's got that going for him, could win this thing?
I kind of like it. You're talking me into it. I feel like I'm going to jump on with you on that.
All right. $75,000.
Super likable guy too. Like. You know, for those that are into guys that are media friendly guys and gives great quotes, he's the best on the tour, probably in that sense. He's amazing with that. So, yeah, is he a three-time major winner? I know he won the Open twice. Did he win a?
I think that's it.
PGA too?
No,
just two Open.
I'm not sure, but I'm guessing two. Two,
yeah, he's got
two British.
Opens. He went back to back for sure. Yeah,
yes.
two of those.
He's won the last two U.S. Senior Opens. One was like a month ago. Not even.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
He's on a run of kind of like we were talking about with Bernhard Langer on the senior tour for quite a while. Now Harrington's doing that.
Right. Or Hale Irwin before that.
Yep,
that's right.
Yep.
Okay, Brian, you free tomorrow?
Yeah, let's do it.
Same time.
Yeah, we'll check in same time, sure. And then obviously for those that want to watch early, I know a lot of big names are teeing off like in the 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. window. I think USA has the TV coverage at 4 a.m. for those that want to wake up early.
Okay. Thanks, Brian. Talk to you tomorrow.
Okay. Talk to you tomorrow.
Brian Koziol, Tee to Green. Saturday mornings, Scheffler, Matt Fitzpatrick, Fleetwood, Schauffele, Rahm, McIntyre, Hovland, Henley, Tom Kim, Neiman. I think I hate this team. I'm not coming in with brimming with confidence. But you never know. I'm not sure confidence really correlates when it comes to predictions. I don't know who's going to win. Should I? We'll go with these are our guys. I stand by the boys. Time out here. Mike Shope with you. Bulldog is off today.